The Girl in the Tunnel is the heartbreaking story of Maureen Sullivan's agonising journey from a violent home to the brutal Magdalen Laundry and her desperate fight for freedom and for justice. I'm glad to say that Maureen joins me now. Maureen, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And thanks for coming on with us today. You say you wrote this book, Maureen, to set the record straight.
Yes. It's been such a tough journey. And I think, as a lot of people will realise now, and I think a lot of people already know, it's very, very difficult to speak out in this country. And especially when you're speaking out about families, or you're speaking out about the church, or any institution in Ireland, it is so hard. And you'll always be condemned. You'll always be put down as a liar, branded as a liar, and terrible lies will be told about you. So I thought, before I die, I'm 70 now, none of us know at this age how long we have left in life. And I hope I have many years. I'm in fairly good health. So I'm hoping I have many years left. But just in case, I thought, I want my story told. And that's why I decided to write my book.
Will you tell me about your early years, your life as a child? Because, you know, it was a difficult one, to say the very least, Maureen.
It sure was. I was handed a very bad deck, I think. That's what I call it. It was very unfair and very unjust. I suppose my father died before I was born. My father died in February and I was born in August. Very, very tough on my mother. With two young boys, I had two brothers before me, John and Patrick. And then I was born in August. And our life was poor. Everybody was poor in them times. I mean, I get that. And then my mother remarried about a year and a half after, very early after, and had another family. And it wasn't very good. It was all right, maybe, in the beginning. I barely remember that. But as I got older, we were started to be abused, and my brothers as well. We weren't wanted there. But then the sexual abuse started with me. I'm not sure of the age, because I think it's very important to get nothing wrong about abuse, that you have everything right. I'd say around maybe 9. And I continued being abused, and I never said nothing about it, because I had great love for my grandmother, and my grandmother had great love for us.
And even if at that age you were aware of the hurt it might cause if you spoke out, is that what you're saying to me, Maureen?
Yes, exactly. From a very young age, I learned that. I never spoke about it. But a nun in the presentation school where I went to here in Carlow, it's School Mirror now, but in them days it was the presentation. And she was always very kind and very nice to me, always looked out for me. And she noticed that I was withdrawn, not speaking to anybody, and that I had problems. And she called me into the office, showed me a lovely sweet that I've never seen before, and of course got me talking, and I told her that I was very unhappy in my home and that could I stay with my grandmother. So she said she'd see what she could do for me, and I know that that nun meant well, because she covered my books and everything for me. It was the priest that decided for me to go to New Ross. So I was supposed to be going down to New Ross to get an education. A laundry man came to collect me. A man that I never met in my life before, didn't know me, I didn't know him. And the whole way to New Ross, it was like going for miles and miles to when you're a child.
Of course.
Or now I'd get down there maybe in an hour or less.
But it seemed like a really, really long journey to
it. It was a horrible long journey. But I played with my pencil case that my mother bought for me before I went. And it was one of the little pencil cases that you could slide back and forward. And it was only the rich children in school that had them. So I felt very important. And the nun had done a lovely job on my books, covering them. They were gorgeous. And when I went to New Ross, handed them over to the Good Shepherd nuns, I never seen them. That was the last time I ever seen my books or my pencil case.
And there was no education for you?
No education, promised. No. I was put into the Magdalen Laundry to work.
And what age were you then, Maureen?
I was 12.
You were 12.
Yeah. I went there in September and I was 12 on the 12th of August.
And tell me about the work you were forced to do there and you had to do there.
Well, the work was very hard. You get up very early in the morning and you go down and you clean the corridors. One would sweep, the other would scrub, the other would dry off, and then there'd be another girl and we'd polish. And then there'd be other mornings, we'd do the visiting room, we'd do the rooms off the corridors, we'd clean all the doors, wash doors, be all different jobs for you every morning. Then you would go to mass, then you come back and you'd have your breakfast, and then you would go to the laundry to work up until 5 o'clock that evening. After, and this is no lying, there's nobody lying about, none of the women are lying about this. Then when you're finished your tea in the evenings, you go into what to call recreation room. Mm. And everybody had a tin with your name written on it. That was for the rosary beads. And then you had another little box with your knitting needles in it, and you'd have a bag with your wool in it if there was an order for the Aran sweaters.
So and you made rosary beads and you knitted Aran sweaters. This was, again, to get revenue into the...
Of course, yeah, this was called recreation. Right.
But this was your downtime. This was supposed to be your downtime.
Yeah, supposed to be your downtime. Okay. So I can assure you by the time that it came 9 o'clock, you were just exhausted.
And you were 12, Maureen, so you were in there with older women. What were they like? What were they like to you? How did you get on with them?
They were fine. Never had a problem with any of the women. They were kind and they'd smile at you. They'd try to talk to you, but they'd be always nervous and jumping and looking around to see if anybody was watching. Because we were supervised 24/7. We were supervised from the time we got up in the morning till the time we went to sleep at night.
And were they the women who would have had babies that were adopted and they stayed on in the laundry? Is that it?
I'm not, to be quite honest, I'm not sure. Yeah. But I do know there was some of them that did have children, because there was one woman in particular. She said, "You're my little girl, aren't you? You're my little girl."
Oh, God.
And I know that breaks my heart.
Oh,
it is,
my God.
Yeah, you're my little... I said, no. I said, I'm your mother. I said, no, my mammy is in Carlow.
But that just goes to show how broken she was.
She was, yes.
My God.
It's heartbreaking. There's terrible stories. And I'd say we're laying flowers for the Magdalens down in New Ross on Sunday. There's a mass grave down there. And we do it every year. I've been doing it now for 9 years with Nancy Watchford Flynn. She's a lovely woman down there. And she started all this. And we keep it up every year. And them poor women never had a voice. We don't know what their stories was like, and I dread to think of it, because they were well before my time.
What about your own family, your own mother? Did she remain in contact with you in any way, Maureen?
My mother came once to see me, but it was supervised. I couldn't tell her anything because the nun was sitting with us.
And what did your mum say to you at that point? Can you remember back?
She just said to me, you know, how are you doing? And I get look after nun. Oh, I'm fine. Everything is okay. I didn't say I said everything is okay.
And she thought you were being educated.
She did, and I couldn't get to tell her any different. And so did the nun in Carlow think that I was educated, because why would she go to the trouble of covering all the books?
You said something that really resonated with me. You said you were seen as being a spoiled person, a spoiled child in some way. That there was almost something dirty about you. Is that the feeling you got, Maureen?
I was, because I'll tell you what. The first day that I got out of that van, there was one nun in particular, and she looked me up and down, and it was I didn't understand it at the time, but my whole body felt her energy go through me, that it was a horrible, nasty look. And I knew that my life wasn't going to be good there from that very moment, I knew.
And tell me about nighttime, for example. You know, you'd be lying in bed and, were you crying? You must have been miserable there, Maureen, weren't you?
I was. Many a time I cried. Many a time I asked her and begged the Reverend Mother, could she please contact my granny? For some reason, I always knew that my granny would be the one that would come and take me out, but to never let her know where I was. So I said, please, I said, could you please let my granny know? I think near the end she knew, because I remember she sent me a letter. And our letters was opened. And if we were sending out a letter, our letters would be read. And if they weren't to their standards and what they wanted us to write, they would be tore up and put in the bin.
How long did you spend there, Maureen?
I was 2 years in New Ross, and then I was transferred to Athy. And then I was transferred to the blind school in Dublin. Now, that held me back a lot of the time for writing my book before now, because I could never get the proof for the blind school in Dublin until 2 years ago I got the proof. And it was by accident. They kept denying I was there. Even though I loved the place, I had nothing bad to say about the blind school. I loved working with them people. They were beautiful, kind, amazing people. And the nuns, when my mother came up to see me, none of the visits were supervised.
So there was an element of freedom there, by comparison anyway. But what was Athy like?
Athy was the very same as New Ross, only in a smaller scale, very small laundry. And I could go out to deliver the laundry down to the hotel at the corner. I was only down around the corner.
Mm.
But I was allowed out, and you felt that little bit of freedom. But my name was changed in New Ross. My name was changed to Francis.
And why was that?
I don't know. I asked the nun that was wanting, a good shepherd nun did meet up with me. I found her to be very kind. I found she gave me an apology. And I asked her, could she please, my boss came with me, but he'd suggested that I try and get peace in my life. And my boss just said, Maureen would like to know, why did you take her education off her? Why did you change her name? And she said, well, you've got to understand, Maureen was an abused child by her stepfather. It was the first time the truth was ever told. We call it the day the veil was lifted. She said Maureen was abused by her stepfather. We could not have her playing with the other children in case she would tell them.
My God.
And my boss was disgusted. He was horrified. And he says, could you not have just gave her a little bit of love and care and nourished her and educated her to make her life better instead of her having to go and live on the streets of London and defend for herself and fight through her whole life. And he said, she's even held back on this story till now. And then I wrote her a letter and I thanked her for an apology. I thanked her for being honest. And I asked her, would she come public? And she said, no, that she couldn't do that.
When you finished at the School for the Blind in Dublin, you moved to England then, but, I mean, that wasn't...
No, I came down to Carlow for a little while, and instead of my granny sleeping on a floor out in my granny's house, because not only did it take my education and took my name, my identity, and took the love of my grandmother away from me, but I was homeless. I could not go back to my stepfather's house then.
You had nothing?
I had nothing. I was left stripped with nothing. And that's how cruel that this country was. And I don't really think it has progressed a lot when it comes to anybody speaking out about child abuse. It's the hardest thing that you'll ever, ever do.
You came back to your granny. Did you tell her the full story then at that point, Maureen?
I told her little bits, because my granny would have been very hot-headed and she would have...
Right.
Kicked up. I didn't want to cause trouble, and I just told her that life wasn't good. She said, I always seen it in your little faces. She said, but I could never, ever imagine, she said, that it was that bad.
What made you move to England then, Maureen?
I just needed to get out. I needed to get away, and my brother was on about going over to England.
It's Paddy, is it?
Yeah, Paddy.
Yeah.
I was sleeping on a floor. I mean, as a young girl, you need to be able to clean yourself. You need to be able to wash. You need to be able to look after yourself. Mind you, I have to say, the first year in England wasn't all that good. We had it very tough. But in the end, we got there. Yeah. And England was, I'd done fairly well there.
But the initial time there was difficult for you.
Very difficult. We suffered an awful lot. Me and my brother suffered an awful lot. We were thrown out on the street. The reason why I left the blind school is my mother came up to see me. And she was kind of shocked that there was no nun sitting down. And I said, well, I don't understand where she's gone. Because the nun said to me, make your mother some tea. And I thought, that's strange. And she never came back. And I said to my mother that my shoes were really hurting me. I mean, my feet is damaged to this very day. And she said, but why aren't you getting paid now for the work you're doing? She said, you're 16. You're 16 now, Maureen. And I said, well, I'm not getting paid. So she said, well, ask the Reverend Mother. She said, tell her I said that you should be getting paid. She said, I'll try and get you a new pair of shoes. And I said, OK. And she left. And that's how I was able to tell her a few things. The next day, I was on a train down to Carlow with £5.
After all the years?
After all them years.
Did you get to tell your mother the whole story?
I did. I told her. I said, look, my mother was a Catholic, an out-and-out Catholic. She was into saying the rosary every night. Or my stepfather was a more holier. He'd be at Mass every day that he could. My mother always said the rosary. She always said prayers. She believed in the church. It was very, very difficult to tell my mother a lot of them things because the nuns would have been only for my good. I mean, that's how brainwashed they were.
And was she aware that you were abused, Maureen?
Oh, yes. Yeah. My mother knew that I was abused by my stepfather the day that I went to New Ross in that laundry van because Sister Veronica and Father Waldron told her. They told her that day and my mother cried and cried and she left my stepfather and rang me to England. We used to get phone calls in a phone booth for her. We'd have to wait at the phone booth and pray that nobody would be in it, that we'd be able to receive the call from my mother. And my mother told me over the phone, she said, I have left him. That didn't do my life any good. I assume it done hers good. She looked happier, felt happier, and came over to England to see me. But it didn't do me any good.
Do you feel robbed of a childhood?
I do. I feel robbed of my education. I feel robbed of a childhood. I feel robbed of the love that my poor granny had. And as the doctor told us when she died of a broken heart. Because her, you know, all the years she missed out with us. Because her son was our father. And she lost him. He was only 30 years of age when he died.
Yes. This is your mother's first husband, yeah. Your dad, yeah.
Yeah, my dad, yeah. He died only 30 years of age. He got TB.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And she was heartbroken. And the loss of her son, and then the loss. We kind of made up for her loss of her son. And then we were taken off of her.
How did you feel about your mother, Maureen? Were you able to love her with all that went on for you?
I never had the same love for my mother that I had for my granny.
Yeah.
My granny was the best person in my life. I don't blame my mother. I think she was brainwashed. I think she had a lot of fear in her. Where would she have went? She worked hard all her life. Very little to show for it. And don't forget, she went on to have 10 more children.
My God.
And where would she have went? There was no refuge for women in them days. There was nowhere she could have went. Until later on in life, when she left him, she moved back out to my father's home, out to 2 miles out the country, and often had to walk into Carlow for work 2.5 miles. She was a very strong woman in that way, but in mind, my mother wasn't able to stick up for herself. She was broken. My mother was a very broken woman. And had a bad childhood herself.
You were suicidal at one point.
I was, yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm so sorry. I don't mean to upset you, Maureen. The story.
No, you're okay. Yeah. You're okay. I did. And I think in one way, in England, if you tried to do anything like that, you'd have to, the law over there at the time was you have to go for counselling. And in one way, it was a horrible thing that I was thinking of doing. But then, in the other sense of it, going for the counsel and everything brought the whole story and all my childhood back up. And I met a lovely lady from Scotland. She was wonderful. And she really helped me. And she said, why are you hiding this? Why can't? I said, you can't talk about things like this in Ireland. Especially, I said, if you're your stepfather, if it's family. I said, it's hard. It's hard enough to talk about what happened to you in the magazine laundries. I said, but to talk about family, I said, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do. I can't do that. And she said, one day you'll find the strength.
And is this book the result of that, do you think? Is this you finding the strength, Maureen?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. Naturally, I'm going to... Well, I don't say naturally. Sorry, I didn't take that word back. I understand that people are hurt. I understand the pain that they're suffering. But to come up to me and tell me not to tell my story, can't you say you were put away because you were wild? Can't you say you were put away because you tore the veil off a nun's head? The things that has been said to me, it's been horrific.
And to cover up the real story,
yeah,
is that it?
Yeah, that I should suffer the pain. I shouldn't bring the sexual abuse into it. That should never be brought into it. That's a family matter and that should be kept secret. And that is the problem with this country. We're not going to stop this abuse from going on if people can't speak out.
So that's still alive and well today, Maureen, you're telling me. Is that we're trying to sweep things under the carpet. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And it's very, very wrong because there is children being abused this minute as we speak. And that is heartbreaking. Little innocent children. It's one of the worst crimes, in my book, is one of the worst crimes that anybody can commit. And these people have to be listened to. And anybody that tells lies about being sexually abused should get 10 to 15 years in prison. That's the way I look at it. Why would anyone want to lie and go through what I have went through? I've been to hell and back. I had to get the guards' protection. I had a lot of things that I still don't even talk about.
How are you in your head now, Maureen? Have you come to a peace with yourself and with, you know, how are you now?
There's times I'm fine. There's times I get very down. I have to try and keep myself well. I go to my doctor on a regular basis. I get counselling. I go for different courses and things. And I try to, and I walk a lot. I go into the woods a lot. I'm a druid, and I think that gets me through. That's what helps me.
Nature, essentially.
Yeah, nature helps me. Once I go into a forest or I go into a park or something, that's the most peaceful time in my life. I have a little doggy, and we go on our walks, and I heal myself out in nature.
The title, The Girl in the Tunnel, that refers to them hiding you when certain people arrived, is that it?
Yeah, the first time that I ever went always sticks out in my mind most. And the nun came up and she just grabbed me and ran so fast because she was real tall and I'm only small. And it was like if I was sometimes ready to fall over, but she kept holding me by the clothes and dragging me down. She says, come on, quickly, 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 the men with the suits are coming. So I didn't know who the men in the suits were going. She says, we're putting you down here. You do not come out of here and we'll be back down for you. Now, that was done to me on a regular basis when people would come into the laundry. I don't know who they all were. All I know, a few times they said, the men with the suits is here. I don't know if they're inspectors and that I was too young to be there. I'm not sure. And I'll probably never know. And they're not going to tell me who they were now. They're not going to admit it. And one day they forgot me. They forgot, I'll never come back down from it. And I was there all day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That must have been so frightening for you.
It terrifies me. To this day, I have nightmares over that. I thought I was going to die that day. And no apology, no sorry, nothing. Just a little sandwich for me when I went up and a cup of tea. You know, even if she had explained, look, we're sorry, we forgot about you. I thought I was going to die that day. I thought this is the end of my life.
Maureen, it's the most incredible story. Tell me about the book. When is it released, Maureen?
The release into the shops is on 13th of April.
Okay.
And I'm just waiting to get word when the launch is going to be. I know we're doing the launch in Kilkenny. And I'm not sure about anywhere else yet. They're coming up, they'll let me know.
Right, so it's the 13th. And will that be available in all bookshops and online as well?
Yes, it will, yes.
All right, okay. Well, when it comes closer to the launch, we'll get some details from you just to let people know, Maureen.
Oh, lovely.
If that's
you're
okay.
Very kind. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And thank you for sharing your story. And I wish you the very, very best, Maureen.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye,
yeah,
Chinook.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Maureen. That's Maureen Sullivan there with her story. Her book is called The Girl in the Tunnel. Huge response already, I see on the screen here, to listening to Maureen this morning. We'll take a break, back in a moment.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007. TIP FM's TIP Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.